Welcome to Supersized Science, where we feature research and discoveries nationwide, enabled by advanced computing technology and expertise at the Texas Advanced Computing Center of the University of Texas at Austin. I'm Jorge Salazar, a science writer at Tech. Chemists have determined for the first time the crystal structure, and they've unlocked the mechanism of activity of a family of enzymes that produce monensin, widely used as a cattle antibiotic. The University of Texas Research Cyber Infrastructure, or UTRC, initiative awarded the Monensin researchers supercomputer allocations on the Lone Star 6 system at the Texas Advanced Computing Center to meet the challenges of modeling the binding sites of monensin. UTRC provides advanced computing capabilities to researchers across all 14 UT system institutions. On the podcast today is Leila Vukovic, an associate professor at the University of Texas at El Paso. She performed the computational studies on the Monensin research published October of 2023 in Nature Communications. Dr. Vukovic, welcome to the podcast.
Could you tell us about the main findings of your study on the synthesis of Monensin? It's used to keep cattle healthy.
So I just want to first clarify. So then my part was to perform computational studies, and all the experiments were done by Dr. Chu-Yang Kim. He was a full professor here at the same institution until last semester. Okay, so he was at the University of Texas at El Paso, and now he's currently at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. So Dr. Kim's group, they for the first time, they obtained a crystal structure of MonC1, monooxygenase enzyme. Okay, so it was the first structure, if you look in the PDB database of the crystal structures, this is the first one of this particular enzyme. And also, so there is a family of these flavin-dependent monooxygenase enzymes, okay? And what they found in this first structure for that family is that it has a very large pocket inside in which the chemical reactions are occurring, taking initially one of these small molecules that's called a substrate. And then inside this channel within the enzyme, there are three reactions that are happening, modifying that substrate, creating the final antibiotic. Okay, so then by obtaining the structure, they figured out how does this enzyme look like? What could be happening inside the channel? How could the reaction, they could propose some hypothesis on how the reactions could be occurring inside. And then indirectly, they could perform some kinds of biochemical assays to see what are the products that are being synthesized. And our computational study took that crystal structure, put it in a simulation box, and then put inside the substrate. And we wanted to figure out through computations which of the three reactions that are occurring, what would be the sequence of steps? Which reaction would be first? Which reaction would be second? Which reaction would be the third one? Okay. So basically, the main finding was the first crystal structure for this family of enzymes, finding that there is this extra large channel, the pocket or cavity inside the enzyme where the reactions are occurring, and then determining the mechanisms of how these reactions could be occurring. Okay.
And could you speak to a little bit of the background about this this enzyme, the Monensin A? Why is this a focus of study?
So there, as you know, many of the antibiotics have been discovered through accidents, right? That it is some type of bacteria or some other live species are producing some compounds that turn out to be beneficial. Then if one finds a family of enzymes which are producing all kinds of known antibiotics already, you want to understand them really well. How do they work? You want to know what are their structures. What do you do with that information? Well, you can then, by understanding how do these natural enzymes, which are naturally occurring, how do they perform the biosynthesis, then you can also use that knowledge for design of new enzymes, right? Because for antibiotics, it's important. The bacteria, they develop resistance to antibiotics very quickly. So it's important to be able to be to produce new molecules that could be have antibiotic activity. And so this part of the family of these enzymes, they are involved in biosynthesis of many types of antibiotics. So just finding out one, how does it look like? What is its structure? What is the mechanism is already very useful information. So of course, in the future, probably the experimental group may be looking into, or other experimentalists may be looking to also find the structures of these related enzymes to see how they produce other important antibiotics.
And I'm really happy to speak with you about the computational modeling. Could you talk a little bit about the models, the modeling that was developed for the simulations of the enzyme?
So as I mentioned, the experimental faculty who obtained the crystal structure, they were sitting few doors down, and they knew that we are doing the simulations of biomolecules. So they came to us and said, we have this very interesting first structure of this family. There is an interesting sequential reaction that happens inside, but they cannot obtain a crystal structure of this enzyme with the substrate inside. So what they did is asked, would you be interested in modeling this new enzyme and then putting in the substrate, modeling inside the substrate of that crystal structure, and then evaluating in simulations, when is the substrate most stable? Because stability of the substrate inside this channel, inside the enzyme, can be hypothesized to be related to which reaction may be occurring. If a substrate is stable in a certain position, then some reaction can be occurring for that position. And there are three reactions occurring, known to be occurring inside the enzyme. So what we did is we took the crystal structure. There is already a cofactor in it. It's called FAD molecule. And this FAD helps catalyze the reaction on the substrate that comes in. So we took the crystal structure, we put in the substrate, we had to model it in different positions. So we did like 8 systems in total that we simulated. And then we first said, okay, let's first examine the first reaction. Would that be a reasonable, first of three reactions, would that be a reasonable reaction to occur first? Is the substrate stable in that position? Then we did it for the second and for the third, and then we were able to analyze the simulation results and then see which position is the substrate most stable, meaning which telling us something about which reaction is most likely to occur first. Then we took the substrate which underwent one reaction, and then we checked which is the most likely second reaction. Okay, so we did it like also sequentially in our simulations to evaluate these different systems. I think I sent you the information, the technical information. There was like 80,000 atoms present in the system. The simulations were done. The enzyme was placed like in an aqueous solution that mimics physiological conditions. And there is this cofactor important for the reaction and substrate inside. Okay, but we were able to do these simulations just because there was a crystal structure. There were these biochemical assays telling us about that there are three reactions occurring on it.
And can you speak to some of these, the challenges you mentioned, like an 80,000 atom system? Could you speak to maybe some of the challenges, the computational challenges you faced in these all-atom molecular dynamics simulations, and maybe why supercomputers were needed for this?
Yeah, so we wanted to investigate 8 different systems, 8 different possible systems, and make some conclusions on them. So we wanted to do a little bit of a screening study, right, for this enzyme. And so we wanted, therefore, to use supercomputers because our local resources are just not sufficient for performing larger screening studies. So that's why we did it. We didn't have many challenges, I would say. We kind of are running the softwares we are using for molecular dynamic simulations are running very smoothly on LongStar. We already figured that one out. But whenever we have a problem, the tech people are very helpful. So that wasn't our issue. Our main issue was in constructing putting in the substrate inside the channel, modeling it in, thinking about the stereochemistry of this substrate, because this enzyme turns out to be stereoselective, which means like there is a particular type of modification which leads to a specific symmetry of the final molecule. So that's what stereoselectivity means. So basically just figuring out all the organic chemistry principles and how to apply them into our models, making sure that everything is, the molecule is fitting in that with that particular stereoselectivity inside our channel, which, because you need to model it manually, it was a challenge because we needed to make sure the organic chemistry basics are, we are kind of, that we are following all the proper atomic models based on what they should be, what the stereochemistry should be. So this manual modeling was the most challenging part.
Could you talk about the TAC resources, Texas Advanced Computing Center resources that you used?
Yeah, so we used Lone Star, as I said, and we used this molecular dynamics software called NMD. It is an it's a free software that's optimized for running on these on the supercomputers. We did not run into many challenges this time because we already debugged them for previous studies. So I would say we did not run into challenges with this project on TAC resources. We obtained the resources through this through the program that TAC has, providing allocations to the University of Texas researchers. So that's how we obtained the time for this project.
What's the most important thing that you'd like the public to know about using supercomputers to develop useful medicines such as Melanson?
They have been very useful resource in characterizing these biological molecules which naturally produce antibiotics. Oftentimes we would not be able to perform the computational studies without the supercomputing resources easily, or our studies would take maybe several times longer than they do when we have these resources. Yeah.
You've been listening to Leila Vukovic of UTEP. Supersized Science is part of the Texas Podcast Network, the conversations changing the world, brought to you by the University of Texas at Austin. The opinions expressed in this podcast represent the views of the host, not of the University of Texas at Austin. For the Texas Advanced Computing Center, I'm Jorge Salazar.